Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here live on the air right now. Keep listening, and you'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, why, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've just been having great conversations over the last several weeks about forgiveness of sins and, you know, how important that is as far as our relationship with Christ is concerned. And one of the things that we've talked about here recently is the fact that we are in the new covenant. We had the old covenant, and we all understand the old covenant. That old covenant was the Ten Commandments and some 613 other laws that God gave to the people of Israel. But that was fulfilled at the cross of Christ, and now we live in a new covenant. And this new covenant has some great promises, and one of them is contained in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." That is just great news, isn't it?
Sure is.
"Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." Now, God's memory doesn't get shut down. It's not like he doesn't remember things. This word remember is to put something at the forefront, at the center of a person's attention. And so at one point in time, the sins of man were at the forefront of God's attention. That was at a place called Calvary 2,000 years ago. And God dealt with sin harshly. And because he dealt with it in the way that he did, and Jesus shed his blood once and for all, now he's cast sins aside.
Right.
Sins were taken away. They have been sent out into the wilderness as far as the east is from the west. That's a long way. And so now they're not at the forefront of God's mind. They're not in the center of his attention. We are. That is just great news. Yeah. We are at the center of God's attention. And he's doing everything in his power through his Holy Spirit to bring us to a point where we can experience life and live that out every single moment of every single day. That's why this is so important. Forgiveness is that key that unlocks the grace of God in our lives. And when we really finalize it, when we really rest in the fact that we're in this new covenant and we realize that God remembers our sins no more, that's when the grace of God comes to life in us.
Absolutely.
Well, 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you. Calls are coming in right now, but we would certainly love to hear from you. Have a couple of lines still available, 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's start in New York and talk to Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much. God bless you. I would like to give you, I'm going to give you a few scriptures to show you how a person can easily lose their salvation. Jesus made a statement.
Frank, a person cannot lose their salvation. You've called numerous times trying to give different scriptures, and I appreciate your take. There's just no way that we can lose salvation. Jesus Christ guarantees it. His blood, his life guarantees it. Our salvation was always dependent upon him. We get saved by grace. We're sustained by grace. Jesus promises that he's going to complete the work that he began in us. Those are all things that are guaranteed. If somebody walks away, I don't think they were saved to begin with. I just don't think that. I think there's a ton of people out there that that profess Christ. They've done, you know, the three or four things that people say that they're supposed to have done, but they never had genuine faith. And at a point in time when life presses in and trials and tribulations get tough, they choose to walk away. And the fact that they choose to walk away proves, I think, that they never really had faith to begin with. That's my take on it. I don't think the Word of God says we can walk away if we're truly saved. Because it says Jesus is never going to walk away from us. So our guarantee of salvation rests upon Jesus' shoulders. I mean, do we really believe that it's by grace that we are saved? Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that it's by grace that we are sustained? Do we really believe that it's because of God's grace we're going to be in His presence forever? Do we really believe that? And if we do, let's speak that. Let's live that. Let's live in appreciation of Christ from this point forward. But if we think we can walk away, then we're saying that it wasn't by grace that we were saved to begin with. Well, Frank, thanks for your call. Let's go to Ruth in Manhattan. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. Again. Okay. Okay, I called because the man that called yesterday, he thought he had committed the unpardonable sin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you said that sinning against Jesus, you thought that was the unpardonable sin. But the Bible says only you can, you know, the sinning against the Holy Ghost, that's the only sin that's unforgivable.
Well, it's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And it's basically what the Pharisees were doing, Ruth. They were looking at Jesus, and they were just perplexed at all the things that he was doing, all the miracles that he was performing. They couldn't deny those, but they came to the point and said, okay, we can't deny that this is happening, but we will say that it is happening by the power of Beelzebub, or Satan himself. So they were attributing the works of the Spirit to the devil. They were saying that was the devil's work happening through Jesus Christ. And so today, if we say that the work of God's Spirit in trying to persuade men to believe in Jesus, if we say that's of the devil, then we've committed a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is unpardonable. Because in essence, we're going to be rejecting the truth of Jesus. We're going to be rejecting the offer of life that he has provided for us, that he is making to us. So that is the unpardonable sin, ultimately, is the rejection of Christ. And the reason folks reject Christ is because they attribute the work of God's Spirit to the work of Satan in regards to his job of delivering the message of Christ, the good news of Christ, to hurting hearts.
Can I say something else?
Certainly.
Okay. You read Matthew 12:31-33. And the man that called, I would like to tell him the reason he feels the way he feels, I hope he can hear me, is because he haven't gotten forgiven for his sins. But would you read 12:31-32 of Matthew?
Okay. Well, we will do that, Ruth, and you know, I don't know what the situation with him was as far as that is concerned. If he was in Christ, he's already received forgiveness of sins. If he wasn't in Christ, then that salvation is available to him, and that forgiveness is available to him, and I certainly hope and pray, if that's the case, that he will receive that. But as far as Matthew 12:31-33, you know, and it says, so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And we know what that says, Ruth, but today, we ask, what is the blasphemy of the Spirit today? Certainly Jesus Christ isn't here physically. He's here through his body. He's living in us, but he is not here physically. I think the world may be looking in and seeing what's happening in the church and attributing those works to Satan himself. I think they're doing the same thing that the Pharisees were doing. And basically they're rejecting Jesus. Well, Ruth, thanks for your call. We love hearing from you. And we appreciate your love of the Word of God.
That's really right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Now, plenty of open lines. If you have something you'd like to discuss, we want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Linda in New York. Hi, Linda.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. I tried to call in yesterday, and I want to find out how to get your book because I was so mad at my husband yesterday. But we've made up. But I have a
Well, that's good to hear.
I'm still mad at him, but we made up, and I asked forgiveness because I was really mad. But I wanted to explore the topic. I know in the beginning you talked about the Ten Commandments.
Oh, we lost,
we lost her.
Well, we did lose her. I hope she'll call back because we'll certainly send her a copy of the book, Love Is. We would love to do that. And for any of our listeners, we would love to put this book in your hands. I think it's an important little book. It's easy to read, but it's very profound in implication and application. And so we want to put it in your hands, and we will do so. Just to say thank you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. All the information on how you can contribute and come alongside what God is doing through this particular outreach is available on our website at basicgospel.net, or you can call our toll-free order line at 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Just talk to our customer service rep and tell them that you would like to make a contribution, and then we will send this book to you. Mm-hmm. But the question was about the Ten Commandments. I'm not sure exactly what she wanted to know about the Ten Commandments. There are a number of questions that we can ask. Do they apply to us today? What is our relationship as children of God to the Ten Commandments? Do we still try to abide by them? Are those Ten Commandments the rules for life? Do they govern the way that we live? So there are many, many questions that can be asked about the Ten Commandments. But I think to set the stage for this, we have to realize the Ten Commandments were a part of the Mosaic Covenant. So after Israel escapes from Egyptian rule, they cross the Red Sea. We all know that story, the miracle, the waters part. They're able to walk through on dry land. The Egyptian armies were following. And once they get into that riverbed, the waters close in and they're drowned and Israel is safe. Well, they march for a little while and they come to a place called Mount Sinai. Moses goes to the top of the mountain and he meets with God, or meets with a mediator of God. And the commandments were given to Moses, but they were given to him in context of this covenant. God said to the people that if you will obey my statutes and all of my commandments, then you will be my people, I will be your God. And that covenant was ratified by blood, and the Ten Commandments were the centerpiece of that covenant. Those were the things that were to govern the people of Israel. They didn't do very well. They didn't live up to those Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, they never made it past commandment number one, which is quite amazing. 3 weeks after the commandments were given, they've pulled together all of their gold and silver. They've melted it down. They've built this golden calf. They've bowed down. They've worshipped it and said, "You, O God, are the one that brought us out of Egypt and set us free." I mean, they didn't even make it past commandment number one, and that was their history. But that was for the people of Israel. Now, those Ten Commandments have a spiritual purpose for all people, and that purpose is to convict us of sin, to show us that we need a Savior. And Paul really deals with that in the book of Galatians. That is just a wonderful, wonderful piece written about the purpose of the law. He even asked that question, what then is the purpose of the law? And he answers, basically, to show us our need for Christ and to lead us to Christ so that we could respond to him by faith and be justified and then receive the gift of God's Spirit. So once the law has fulfilled its purpose in our lives, it's convicted us, it steps aside and gives way to the person and work of Jesus Christ. So now we're in relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's his Spirit that leads us and guides us every single day of our lives. So he's never going to lead us to do something contrary to what was written in the law. He's not going to lead us to murder, but he's going to lead us to do something even better than not murdering, and that's loving our neighbor as Christ loved us. So he's going to teach us to do the positive things. It says don't commit adultery. Now, the Spirit of God is never going to lead us to commit adultery, but that law in and of itself does not teach us how to love our wives as Christ loved the church, or for wives to respect their husbands. The law, that commandment, doesn't teach us how to carry that out. The Holy Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit is teaching us how to love our wives. The Holy Spirit is teaching wives how to love and respect their husbands. The law can't do that. That's why we need Jesus. So the law had a purpose. Once that purpose was satisfied, was fulfilled as far as we were concerned, we saw our need for Christ, then the law gives way to Jesus. And so our relationship is with Jesus. Yeah. We had a relationship with the law. It wasn't very good. Now we have a relationship with Jesus that is just outstanding.
Absolutely.
So that's the good news. Certainly hope that helps.
Yeah. Well, Linda, sorry we lost the connection with you, but hope you are listening and hope that has been helped to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Angelo in Staten Island. Hi, Angelo.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Okay. My question is, I don't want to confuse you guys, but testing of your faith, is it the same as being in the wilderness when your faith is being tested? And how does that apply to trying to understand the will for your life from the Lord?
Well, Angelo, great questions. Really, really good questions. Spot on. Those are kind of rubber meet the road, real life stuff. We all go through trials and tribulations, don't we? I mean, Angelo, that's just part and parcel of life. Jesus said it best, in this world we will have tribulation, but fear not, he has overcome the world. So we have victory in Christ. And as Peter wrote, a lot of those trials and tribulations, show us that our faith is genuine, or it shows us that we don't have genuine faith. That's what we learn through those trials and tribulations. So if we have genuine faith in Jesus Christ, the trials and tribulations are going to show that to us, because we're going to learn to trust him in the midst of those trials and tribulations. We're going to recognize the fact that Jesus Christ is bigger than any trial or tribulation that we can experience, and that he's able to work it together for our good. So we can go through that with a sense of peace in our heart. We can live above the circumstances of life. So that's what we learn through trials and tribulations, if our faith is genuine or if it's phony, hypocritical in some way. I said there's a lot of people who profess to know Jesus. There are literally millions of people that go to church every single Sunday. There might be a big percentage of those people who actually have walked an aisle, who maybe said, quote, the sinner's prayer, but they've never truly responded to Christ in faith. They've done some ritual. they've done some activity that they've checked off, and they feel like everything's A-okay. And if you ask them, they'd say, yeah.
I don't want to throw it. Are they saved or not saved?
I'm saying they're not saved. Okay. I'm saying they've checked off a box saying I've done it. But then if you ask them if they're saved, they'd say, well, yeah, I go to church. And, yeah, I give my money. Well, those are wrong answers. If somebody says, are you saved? You say, well, the blood of Jesus is what saved me. I am trusting in the fact that he died to take away my sins. I am trusting in the fact that he was buried, putting an end to my old way of life, and the fact that he was raised from the dead so that I can have life everlasting. My hope of salvation, my salvation is tied to Jesus and to Jesus alone. There's a lot of folks that would say otherwise. They'd say, well, I've done this, I've done that. Well, you're arguing the wrong case. So those trials and tribulations, to those folks, when the heat is turned up, they're going to turn back to the ways of the world to try to find solutions and try to find help. Those who are true, genuine Christians, I think the trials, the fiery trials of life, are going to show that their faith is truly genuine. Does that make sense, Angelo?
Yes, it makes sense. Now, the testing, if you brought it on yourself it being the consequence that you brought on yourself, or you were put in a tribulation, the Lord works the same way. It doesn't matter to him. A tribulation is a tribulation. He's going to let you understand that he's there, and he will not won't forsake you and leave you. No matter if you put yourself there or you were led into a tribulation.
That's right. Here's the deal. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. And this is in the context of, consider it pure joy, brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then he goes on to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Love that phrase, without finding fault. God's just there for us. He loves us. And if we got into a trial through our own choices, or just because of something else that happened, it doesn't matter to God. We can still turn to him for wisdom.
Amen.
Hey, thanks.
That's very clear. Very good.
Hey, thanks for your call, Angelo. Certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. I think you'll really be blessed in reading it. Well, let's quickly go to Benedicta in the Bronx. Hi, Benedicta.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. Hi. I just want to ask about the discernment of spirit. Please, could you tell me a little more on that?
Well, I'll read one passage just real quickly. It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. This is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. That's the discernment.
I'm sorry. What if someone is preaching? What? It seems like he's preaching under the Holy Spirit, but he's actually a deceiver. How will I know?
Well, I think it gets down to this. Someone who is preaching a false doctrine, it will eventually come out that they are in it for their own good, for their own personal gain, and it will be a message about self and not about Jesus. Well, Benedicta, we're out of time. Let me put you on hold.
If you'd like to get a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, you have just a couple of more days to do it on the basis that we've been telling you about. That, of course, for a gift of any amount. Simply go online to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Or call during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828. If you're listening online, stay where you are. We'll be back after a five-minute break for part two of Basic Gospel. Hope you'll stay tuned. For Bob and Richard and the staff, have a great weekend, everybody.